Mafia Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. I am the main host and frontman for the show, the Reverend Godfather. And I'm here to bring to you another part in our recordings of that we did at the Winter Pop and Comic Wonderland Convention this past December 3rd and 4th, 2016. This time it is This is our panel titled When Dinos Attack, starring Thomas F. Duffy from Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World, and Kevin Duhaney from Dino Thunder, who played the Blue Ranger in that, and Jeff Parizzaro from also Dino Thunder, he played the White Ranger. Before I thank anybody, I'll let the panel do the talking, so here that is. I'll see you guys on the other side.
Hey guys, again, welcome to, if you haven't, Matt or anybody from out the actual con itself hasn't welcomed you to hasn't welcomed to you all to the Winter Pop Culture and Comic Expo, welcome, glad you're all here. I'm sure these guys here will welcome you too. For the folks at home, this is the Dino Thunder panel at the Winter Pop Culture and Comic Wonderland. We are expecting Thomas Duffy soon from The Lost World. I'm going to let you guys announce your names. That way I don't screw them up.
My name is Jeffrey Parizzaro. I play the White Ranger in Dino Thunder.
I'm Kevin Duhaney. I played the Blue Ranger in Power Rangers Dino Thunder.
I love it. I try to keep everything casual. I don't personally, whatever these guys want, how to talk, I don't mind language or anything like that. It's open for everybody. So, how'd you guys get being part of the Power Rangers? In essence, the fifth inclination of the Power Rangers?
Was it? I think it was like the
11th.
11th? 11th?
Yeah. Yes.
It was good. I just had an audition. My agent called me, and I just auditioned for it.
It was like, how is that life for you guys? Like, you want me to be? I don't mean to be anything in regards to it. Is it like you want me to be what? A Power Ranger? Or did you guys grow up watching the show? Actually, or
Kevin? Well, I grew up watching the show. Yeah, I had Green Ranger pajamas as a kid. Yeah, like JDF was my dude. He was my favorite, man. So when I got to set and I saw he was going to be a part of the show, I freaked out. I got super excited. So
and here is Thomas Duffy. So we have a full panel here today.
Sorry, they didn't know where the panel was.
So,
For me, I just missed out on the whole Power Ranger craze. So when I got it, I actually asked friends. I'm like, is Power Rangers still on? Is this happening? And it was. And I'm happy about it.
Was there any having the original Green Ranger part of the show, was there any type of shadow that you felt that, hey, I have to live up to this person's expectations? Or was it easy going on set?
This is the beauty, is because I missed Power Rangers, I didn't know who he was. I knew he looked familiar, and I knew he was on the show, but I just didn't think twice about it, you know?
Yeah, I freaked out when I met him.
He did.
The first thing I told him was I had Green Ranger pajamas as a kid, and he was like, yeah, thanks for making me feel old.
So you geeked out, eh? You geeked out when you saw him a little bit?
Oh, yeah, big time.
So, again, we're here with... what made you be part of, at least in this aspect, Jurassic Park? Was it something that was just something that came across your desk, or?
Yeah, well, you know, we have agents, and agents send us out for things, and sometimes you get them, and sometimes you don't. This particular one was kind of fun because the character was described as a cross between a aging hippie and a desert rat.
That's so, a great character description.
So it's amazing. I had really short hair and no beard, like maybe a couple days scruff, and I'm thinking I'm not going to get hired looking because I look pretty normal when I'm clean cut, and I look like the guy next. I look like you guys, okay? I'm not like a movie star, okay? So anyway, the magic of makeup, and the grub wasn't enough, but I went to Namie's, which is this beauty supply. I bought a cheap little, I think couldn't have been more than $40. Talked to Namie himself, who owned the place, and he helped me dye this thing, fooled Spielberg. Like, just put it on, it clipped in, it looked great. That's what they wanted for the character, got hired. You know, listen, it's, first of all, it was a sequel to the biggest money-making movie of all time, so that was pretty cool. Number two, I got to actually meet and dig dinosaur bones with Dr. Bakker, who my character is kind of based on, Robert Bakker from Wyoming and Denver, that was pretty cool. That may have been as cool as anything in it, is digging. We literally went out and dug dinosaur bones out of a site in Wyoming.
So cool.
So that's really amazing.
Cool. Super cool.
Speaking of training, what did you guys have the? I don't want to say. I'll say martial arts training prior to going on the show, or did you have to train a little bit?
Oh, I trained in the mountains of Japan for years before.
That is the best answer I heard.
Exactly.
He was Ojo.
Chuck Norris was there too. It was a thing. No. No, I had no martial arts training before whatsoever. We basically booked the role based on our acting, and once we got out there, they basically beat us up for a month and a half and whipped us into shape.
So, I know the reason why I asked is because you hear stories from the original folks that they all had either dance background or some sort of martial arts background. So it's I don't want to say it's a fair question, but it.
No, it's a good question. It's just Disney era was a little different than the originals. Yeah. In the originals, they kind of went for that first. They looked for martial artists or dance background and then kind of molded their acting, whereas Disney looked for actors and kind of tried to mold them to be able to do some fighting.
How long has Disney been doing?
They don't do them anymore.
They don't do it anymore. They sold
that,
it back.
They
want
like a six-year stretch. Yeah.
I know someone I was in that period, one of the girls.
Okay.
And she didn't have any training. Yeah. She, you know, I mean, it's difficult. It's a lot easier to train someone to learn martial arts than it is to train someone to be a good actor.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I know, Thomas, majority of your work has been on the mainstream movie themes, but you guys, there has been a cheese factor with the Power Rangers. I don't mean that in a bad way. There's a... Cheese is good in regards to certain aspects of the TV show.
I love cheese. Gouda? Gouda, yeah.
Hey, I'm just trying... You guys are pretty much outside my experience range. I'm trying to steer this the best I can. So please forgive me on that aspect. I know you guys, in one of the episodes doing my research for this, you guys kind of poked fun of that with, I think it was a social studies... experiment in regards to the show, a report, and it was like I forgot who it was. He went up like the version of American life versus Japanese life was in essence the outcome of the show or his report, and they kind of aired a Japanese version of what you guys were. So it
was that when you guys were watching?
Yeah, it was like watching on TV.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I wasn't in that episode. But Kevin's got a really good answer for this.
Or if not, make something up. I'll take anything.
Oh, well, I mean, the Japanese version is a lot different than the American version. It's a lot darker. And I feel like the American version is geared more towards children because, I mean, the show is really out there to sell toys. That's the main thing of Power Rangers is, you know, they want to sell the toys, so you kind of have to gear it towards children.
Which, my movie was actually the opposite, because Spielberg felt like he did the first movie, was very gentle and and he wanted to do a 1950s B movie type of movie where it scared you and
yeah,
you know,
that's so cool.
Which is hopefully so awesome. That I mean, they're supposedly they're going to re-release the movie in 3D, which I think would be really cool awesome. Because ours there's lots of velociraptors jumping out at people, and we didn't have 3D when we shot the movie.
Yeah,
so.
That's amazing.
And no dinosaurs were hurt in the filming of the movie.
Speaking of which, as you guys probably know, Phil Tippett is not here, so we're all safe, folks. For those who don't, some of you got it. Some of you got it. Those who don't get it, Phil Tippett was the dino supervisor in the original movie. And look on the knee, do a Google search of Phil Tippett or dino supervisor, and you'll get a whole mess of memes saying there were raptors in the kitchen, Phil. You had one job. One job. So, any particular set stories you'd like to share? We got this past April, we got some interesting set stories from Vernon Wells and the rest of the gang. So, what do you guys have anything to top that?
I don't know if we can top that. Vernon Wells is a special guy. He's got great stories. Kevin and the rest of the core group. They pulled a really nice prank on me. I mean, at the first month of shooting, when we actually got into shooting, I worked like twice, you know, in a month and a half. These guys were on set all the time. So one day, because I was traveling around Auckland as much as I could since I had all this time off, these guys called me at like 4 in the morning saying, Jeff, where are you? You know, you're supposed to be down here waiting for you downstairs. You know, we got to get to set. And I'm like, I'm not shooting today. He's like, yeah, you are. Like, we've been waiting for 20 minutes. Where are you? So I went down. And there was no one there, and I was messaging him. I'm like, where are you guys? Like, what's going on? And he's like, yeah, sucker. You're not working today. Yeah.
I got tired of seeing all his beautiful pictures of New Zealand, him traveling around. I was working traveling. 18-hour days every day. I was like, oh, no, buddy. You're getting up early one of these days. I planned it for a few days.
So it's funny because no one liked me on the show when I turned evil, right? So it was... They already didn't like me. It was so easy to play.
Well, I guess the other one of the things that was kind of fun is that when we shot most of the movie in Northern California, up almost at the border, and in the redwood forests. So that would mean we were going back to Eureka, which is probably the only town that had enough hotels to. I mean, it's a very big cast and crew. So I would spend an hour and a half to 2 hours every day going back and forth, but I was going back and forth with Vince Vaughn and watching
so cool.
about probably 12 of the characters that I've seen in movies now. We were doing improvs as we were driving, and it was really a lot of fun. And
that's cool.
But the hairiest thing was the day before my first shot on the movie, hadn't even met Spielberg because I had to do my audition via, that wasn't Skype, but it was by, you know, over the internets or something. But I'm just about going to bed because I have a 6 a.m. call. And Jeff Goldblum comes by and says, hey, Tom, we're going out for sushi. Come on, we're going. And I'm going, Jeff, I got, you know, these guys, he didn't have a call till late in the day. So I'm... Okay, I said, well, Vince is going to be there, and Julianne's going to be there, and Stan Winston is going to be there, and Janusz Kaminski is going to be... And I'm like, I got to shoot at 6 in the morning, you know? So I wound up regretting my choice of going to that dinner. But it was pretty amazing. Oh, and Holly Hunter was there because she was married to Janusz Kaminski at the time.
You don't want
to
miss that dinner, right?
Yeah, you don't want to miss it. But at the same time, I'm like...
I want to go to that dinner.
And then the kicker was I showed up. And they said, well, Tom, we ordered all this food because you're a big guy. So it's like I have to sit there. It's not like I can grab like a little something and get out of there.
Yeah.
But it was actually a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of people that, you know, really talented people, you kind of like feed off of them. And it's a lot of fun.
It's a learning experience. You're sitting there in the presence, right?
Yeah.
Well, I know you guys had a lot of past experiences in movies and TVs. Was the Power Rangers any different than What you worked on in the past, or
physically? Yeah, it was a little bit more demanding than normal. But other than that, preparation was pretty much the same. If you weren't doing a fight scene,
This guy has a big resume even before Power Rangers, right? I felt like it was nerve wracking, just going to set and just trying to keep up with everybody. Like, that was the first season I did of a show. I got to do a lot of movie parts and, small TV parts, but that was the first time I was actually on set feeling like, wow, they flew me out here. I'm getting paid to, work. I was in it, and plus, I didn't start as quickly as you guys. No. So, it was a learning experience.
It's funny.
How I learned the technical side for acting.
We actually met on the plane, too.
Went on the plane to go there.
On the way there. Yeah. 18-hour flight. Two flights.
But yeah,
I would have loved to hear that conversation between you two, seeing that, hey, I'm going to do this acting gig. Really, what? Being a Power Ranger.
No, I sat down next to him and was like, hey, are you going to be a Power Ranger? He's like, yeah, you? I'm like, yeah. Well, and then that was it.
It's a very big show.
And then the whole flight there, do you remember everyone kept coming up to us? They were like, are you guys musicians? You guys, what group did they think we were part of? NERD. Nerd.
Yes.
They thought we were part of Nerd.
I was Pharrell Williams. Yeah. Funny.
That's funny.
And we drank Caesars.
I know you've had a long resume as well. What was the most memorable project you worked on?
Well, Lost World was Lost World, so that was a pretty memorable deal. I really liked Varsity Blues. I had a great time on that movie. But it's been a lot of, I enjoyed working with Charles Bronson. He's, was an icon and got to, I've been very blessed. X-Files was fun. It's hard to say one thing over another, but probably just for straight up enjoyment of a role and getting into it, I think Varsity Blues.
That movie.
Yeah, it's a. I mean, I still have people here have seen it 50 times. The guy brought his DVD and we signed the DVD and Yeah, so it's cool. It's one of those, it's not for everyone.
Yeah,
it's not a
that
kid's
was like
movie.
At Vanderbeek's Pete, right? Because
yeah,
in that,
oh
right?
Yeah,
yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and that was like it was Pete.
It was crazy. Nobody knew Paul Walker and everybody knew Vanderbeek. But
yeah,
he'd already worked.
Was Dawson's.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was. We went out to dinner one night in a small little restaurant in Austin, Texas. Just the six. It was myself and Amy and Allie and Vanderbeek and Paul Walker. So it was, is that six? I think there was six of us regardless. Mm-hmm. And it was empty. So we went, great. We got a great place to go to. Literally 5 minutes after we ordered our food, the entire restaurant was full. And a line out the door because I guess the frat parties gave up, they knew they had to be there at a certain time. So we're thinking we're going to a nice, quiet restaurant, and it's like, and everybody was just going crazy over him, and reaching across people, and oh, hey, Dawson, what happened to your hair? He dyed his hair, but and Paul Walker, like guys are smacking him in the face to grab. It was an interesting.
That's funny.
Yeah, interesting deal.
I know back earlier this year when I had to do the other panel, I missed out on asking it, so I'll ask it here. Are you guys familiar with the so-called Power Rangers curse, or have you heard about that?
The curse about, once you do Power Rangers, you can't work? that's really what I think.
That's the curse, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. I haven't
you die
it.
Or you
I
go to jail.
Or you die? That's because a lot of people have.
I don't know. I tried looking into it myself, but there seems to be no validity to it. I'm sure some of people here are familiar with the Poltergeist curse, where a lot of people who filmed the Poltergeist series have passed away. There's no consistency in regards to the Power Rangers curse. It seems like some people went to committed crimes. Some people passed away. And
there's been a lot of us, though.
A lot of
You can fill a city with every single Power Ranger from every season over the past 13 years, right? So there's a lot of us. I'm sure some of them got into trouble.
I mean, listen, there's no rhyme or reason, but three young people out of Varsity Blues are gone.
I mean, life is life, right? It happens.
The little boy who played my son disappeared. You know, Paul had his car wreck, and, you know, Ron passed away this year. So is that a curse? No. It's just, you know, unfortunately, stuff happens.
Just the internet being the internet, primarily, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I've heard of that, but I feel like I've heard more of the one where, like, once you do Power Rangers, like, you can't get work after.
Oh, kind of like the Superman curse.
Yeah, I guess so,
Oh,
but a lot
sorry,
of us are
guys.
Working still, yeah. So. You know?
I've heard as well is that the inclination that you guys were on, the show was kind of underrated by a lot of the fans, or...
You know, I've had a lot of people who really liked our show, actually. And it's partly probably because we're riding off the coattails of Jason David Frank's character, Tommy, because he comes back for our show, right? And also because it was a dino theme. It was the first dino... Was it the first dino theme
yeah,
to come
since
back?
Since the original.
Like, our characters were based off the original characters. So, I don't know. People seem to really... Most of the time, Mighty Morphin's everyone's favorite. It's just nostalgic. Right?
Yeah. But I've had a lot of people say they got back into it because of our season, which is pretty cool. It's a compliment.
I just want to know, guys, you know, with dinosaurs in it, got something for Dr. Burke?
Nothing against Jason, but you probably would have improved it.
Oh, come on.
No.
Who's recording?
hey, no one? Okay, hey, I'll be more than happy to have Jason on the show, too. but still, what do you, Thomas, so seeing I'll include you guys in and out as well, thinking about the later inclinations of the show, do you think the later shows had something to live up to you guys, or same thing with, like, Jurassic Park, The Lost, the new movie and the new sequels that might be coming out in regards to the resurgence or repopularity with Power Rangers?
I don't know. I mean, geez, I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that.
I feel like the movie can only do, you know, good for the franchise. It's just going to draw a whole new generation and you know, kind of give us an avenue to get out there again, too.
Yeah. I guess.
It's down to the writing, too, you know? I mean,
yeah.
If they have a good script, it could be huge.
Yeah,
exactly.
But, I mean, you know, the Lost World kind of... I never made it through the third one. I've watched it, but I didn't... You know, the characters, the story... It was a story more than anything else. And that's all you can do as an actor. You know, it's like someone said to me, why were you so worried about that snake when you... You know?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, well, that's what they... Actually, in reality... And you guys would know this as well. I had an earlier scene where I was definitely afraid of snakes because I got bitten by a rattlesnake or something. And they didn't wind up shooting that. They shot it, but it didn't wind up into the movie. So, you know, it's just some crazy guy with a snake going. And that was interesting in itself because that was a real snake and there was a drain at the bottom.
Oh.
So I had to keep the snake from getting out.
Yeah,
and going down that drain because it would have been
dead.
So luckily we did it in one take. So you know it was good.
It's beautiful.
And my stunt guy got pulled off to oblivion.
I know you guys, at least you two down there, have done a lot of shows and panels and so forth. What favorite show convention moments and panel moments that you've had over the years?
I think the first convention I did was in 2014. Yep, it's where we went to Lexington. That was really special because for years I never went to conventions, never thought about doing it. Right, so whenever I would get offered, I'd be like, "No, I can't do it." And I decided to go to this one because it was an anniversary. I didn't realize how many people we touched. I didn't realize, you know, how important it was for certain people watching the show. That's kind of where it all started, where I wanted to keep going, because there's times when, I mean, being a Canadian actor in Toronto, sometimes, you know, you have your ebbs and flows with acting, and, you know, maybe I was judging maybe second-guessing what I was doing for a little while, but then you meet all these people that re-inspire you. So it's important for me to go, because it's nice to feel inspired, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to meet people who actually want to see you succeed and do good things.
Amen.
And it started there, so I'll say that one. Yeah.
And I haven't done one for 20 years because I had kids. My daughter's freshman year of college, so I'm back in the show. But I think, you know, when you're young, it's nice to be able to, especially when you do movies. If you do theater, you get that instant gratification. You know people are enjoying it. Get out and meet people and, you know, see people who your work has touched and who love your work or even hate your work. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's nice to get out among the people and see what it's, I mean, that's really kind of what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are what support all of us.
That's the reason we're here.
Yeah, without you guys, we have no job, you know, so it's nice to meet everybody who gives us a chance, gives us a chance to do what we love.
What kind of projects are you guys working on? Anything now, or what are you guys working on?
I just finished a season of a cartoon called Looped. I do the voice of Theo, and that's on right now. You can actually find it on Amazon Prime out here. And I did two seasons of Total Drama Island before that as the voice of Cameron. And I also wrote a film with Jeffrey as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we wrote a horror film called DramaCon. We were in pre-production, then we went back into end of development with a new production company. We're supposed to go to tape on that in June. I just finished shooting an episode of 12 Monkeys, and I'm going to work with one of my favorite directors next week. It's so nice that I get to say this, because there's some conventions where you don't have anything to say for a little while, but I get to work with Aaron Sorkin starting next week. And that's going to be really cool. Like, I love his work, and it'll be nice to get yelled at. If there's any director I'll be yelled at by, I'll be happy to be yelled at by him.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, that's I was just going to add, I get yelled at by my kids constantly. I've got a movie called Odious that's supposed to come out next 3 months. I just finished one called Only Once More. And that's it.
Kevin, said you now doing voice work for two different cartoons, or at least did that. What was the switch between, what's it like to switch from actually physical acting to voice acting now?
Oh, it's nice, man. I get to go to work in my pajamas. I don't have to worry how I look. It's pretty sweet, man. It's pretty sweet. No, I like it. I have, you know, I feel like I can do a lot more with my voice than I can do on camera, which is fun. I can be a lot of different nationalities and, you know, so it's fun. It's nice. It's a nice change.
So right now I'll kind of open it up to the people in the audience. What do you got?
So I have a question for my client, Tom. many people may not know this, but he was actually in Wagons East, which was John Candy's very last movie before he died. Did he die making the film, Tom, or did they actually complete all the scenes in that film?
No. No. John, I was with John the night he passed away, and we went to set the next morning, and, you know, a PA come up just completely pasty-faced and said, you know, John passed away last night. Nobody believed it. I mean, but I don't think anyone's... We're about an hour and a half out from the city. They just said go home and figure it out. No, we had to shoot... They literally took him out of another scene. The movie was maybe going to get shuttered. We were about two-thirds of the way through. Mm-hmm. But... They cut him out of a couple of scenes, and then another couple of scenes they changed. Instead of him talking about the other characters talked about him. But they were able to put it together. But, you know, when you take stuff away from someone like John Candy, who was just the nicest man you ever want to meet. I mean, he just would, just a regular guy and really funny all the time. You know, you can't just take someone and you can't take him out of the movie because he was like the heart and soul of it. So the movie came out a lot different than we had planned. And, you know, bottom line, you know, tough. I mean, it really brings you back to what's really important, you know.
Go ahead. I have one. There was one last episode of Super Mega Force where supposedly all of the Rangers actually came back. Were you guys actually in on that or no?
No, our invitation got lost in the mail, I think.
Yeah. It got lost. Our characters were there. And I know I got the credit for it, so thank you. But I was in there.
Because I actually meant your character's costume, I did see, because I was actually looking for the ones I knew, and I spotted yours, but I wasn't sure if it was actually yours, because there was only very few that actually took off their helmets.
Yeah. Those are the ones they brought.
That's called ka-ching for the producers.
Yeah.
So Ben didn't really mess around with the Disney actors when they took it back.
No.
So.
I think, did Emma go back once, though?
Emma did go back once.
Yeah.
But that was wasn't that the very end of Disney, the last season?
Was it?
Yeah, it could have been that or the very first season of...
Could have been, yeah.
Spawn, but I think, yeah.
Go ahead.
Did you guys learn to love your colors? Like, you know, blue might not have always been your favorite color, but then you had to wear blue all the time, and I know blue is associated with you and white. So did you guys learn to love it, or did you already...
I mean, I already kind of liked blue, but this kind of enhanced it. Now I go out of my way to be around blue.
yeah, I don't know. They had me wearing a lot of black as well, so... I don't know. You know?
Look at you now.
I tend to wear more black.
Look at you
than
now,
than white.
Buddy.
But yeah.
Speaking of that, in reference to the color scheme, because you played all, even though the good character as well as the bad, do you think there was kind of a relation of, all right, he's going to be good and the black, the classic good being, white being good and the black being evil?
I never thought about that. Did that happen? It might have happened without anyone really realizing it. I've never thought about it that way, though.
Because that was usually the standard old school. It was the old school cowboy thing that the good guys always wore white and the bad guys always wore black. And who knows? They probably did that in regards
to the
show, too.
Might have been a subconscious thing that they did. I don't know. I'm going to use it, though, every time I go away. I'm like, did you guys get this?
Well,
that was my stamp on the character. That's how I did. That's how I worked it.
Always in the back.
Go ahead.
I have another question. Question one. If I might, on Dino Thunder, they actually had one where you guys actually had to fight yourselves. Am I correct? They had to fight each other?
I had to fight my character because they split us into two.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You don't think you had to fight your character?
No.
It was just my character. I think when they cloned me, I had to fight the evil guy.
Well, like, were you actually the same one or two different?
No, same one. Same one, same take. I'm fast. I'm so fast. One side, this side.
Remember when I told you I was training in the hills of Japan? He showed up for the last, like, week and a half, so he was there for speed training.
Well placed.
I know you were saying you weren't liked, but the Evil Rangers are by far the most badass characters in the show. But I gotta say, like, your laser arrow
is magic, right?
Well, yeah, it was awesome.
You can't touch that.
But my question was, like, how was it doing the episode with the Ninja Storm Rangers?
I really loved working with the Ninja Storm guys. I really did. I don't know, it's weird. That was our season, right? That was our year, so we were already there. And then they came back, and I was just really... Those guys, they had a big group. They had like, six of them? Let's just say there were six of them, okay? They were all such a tight unit. Such a tight unit, and I was really impressed with that.
Yeah, they were so fluid, I started second-guessing myself.
They were so fluid. Like, our season was weird because it was me, Kevin, and Jason were the only North American guys. Everyone else was from Auckland or Wellington. So when we would want to go out and travel and see things, it was always just us three. The rest of the guys, it's their backyard, so they're not interested in doing that. With Ninja Storm, everyone came from somewhere else, and you really just felt how tight they were. And that was just really nice to see, and... Besides, our team up was really cool.
Yeah.
You know? Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid question. Can you see out of those helmets?
Yeah.
We can see.
Okay. Well, we can't see you.
Why?
It's just like looking through sunglasses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's really dark.
Yeah.
You can't even see the inside of the helmet.
Yeah,
Technical question.
They're safe.
Better question. How did you like working with Spielberg?
It was great.
I mean, you know, you get the very best of everything, and you know, it's really interesting because he doesn't do coverage, meaning if he shoots a scene, he might shoot everybody here and shoot you, and then never have anyone to cut away to, and it's all in his head. He's pre-cut the movie in his head.
Yeah.
So it's like, or you know, oh no, I used that in I used it, you know, a shot where, like, we have a shot where we're looking into a T-Rex print and the faces are reflected in the water. Now, I use that on blow. I don't know if I want to use that because I use it, you know, so he's always thinking, you know, it was.
So you're kind of always, like, shooting. You're always.
But you always have to be on.
Too. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's all the time. It's almost like it has that feeling of being in theater.
And it's the thing is, I mean, I've worked with, you know, James Cameron. I've worked with a lot of really top-notch directors. But with Spielberg, you want to hit the home run every single time, and that's difficult for an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're sustaining it over 4 months. Like, we had a big, huge scene where the dinosaurs escape. And we shot it at the end of our run at night. My close-ups were at 4:30 in the morning. And half the cast was gone. Because I wasn't low man on the totem pole, but, you know, they shoot out Jeff Goldblum, then they shoot out Pete Postlewaite, then they shoot out Julianne Moore, and they're gone. So you're not looking at them. You're shooting your shot, and you've got to be good. And, you know, on top of it, my hair in the movie was not real hair. It was real hair, but somebody else's. So I got this bag that I'm carrying around through the whole movie. And, of course, right now Spielberg, I messed up a line. So it's 4:30 in the morning. He wants to go home. So I put the strap on my head, and they say, you know, and I've got this big bunch of dialogue, and I feel the hair piece coming off because the hair is underneath the strap. So if you watch it, it's the take that's in the movie. I'm like, no, I think you know, the thing can smell 5 miles, and you know, it's a little different with someone. I mean, I work with Mike Nichols. I've worked with some really great directors. Yeah. Steven knows. I've never seen anybody that had the whole movie basically mapped out in their head before they shot, and had the courage, because these guys know. I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong that have nothing to do with acting, that he's going to get that shot, and then he doesn't shoot the rest of us because he's already got it. Yeah. Moving on. Yeah. And so it makes it interesting. And we had John Williams staying with us at the hotel while we're shooting, and he's scoring it as we go. I mean, it was pretty amazing. Stan Winston, awesome. You know, and you know, the guys from ILM, you know, it was pretty amazing. It
sounds epic, man.
That being said, according at least to IMDb, that you worked on Super 8 as well, having to deal with not only Spielberg but with a different director as well. What was that like?
It's pretty much the same guy, but no, just kidding. I mean, he does emulate Steven quite a bit, but he's a good guy. I played Rooney, the electric company guy up in the cherry picker, and I get killed again. Seems to be a recurring theme. I've probably been killed 10 or 15 times on film. You know, and then at least 50 by the critics, but that's another story. But no, I, you know, that was I mean, he's very efficient. He knows what he wants. You know, we took the time to shoot the scene right, and that's nice because these days you don't always have that. It's like, okay, is it in focus? Great, we're moving on. Because it costs a lot of money, obviously, to do these big budget movies. But, yeah, it was J.J.'s pretty dynamic guy, a lot more frenetic energy than Spielberg. Spielberg's kind of, as you get older, you get a little, you know, less frantic. And but good experience, you know, and I thought it was a great little movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Well, I wouldn't call, again, I'd say it to his face, too. I don't, even though Jason David Frank is not that big of a name, but in the Power Ranger circuit, he probably is. But working with a lot of the bigger named actors, what's it kind of like that's out there?
I don't know. I haven't had the opportunity to work with a lot. I did get to work with Monica Bellucci, Clive Owen. Those are probably at the pinnacle of who I've gotten to work with. And what I've noticed is they're really nice and humble and quiet and laid back. And most of the time, they just want to work.
Mm-hmm.
And just get and then you shoot it and you go home. But really humble and giving.
Well,
yeah.
Let me just chime in here.
Go ahead.
I've worked with De Niro, Pacino, Meryl Streep. I mean, I've worked with tons of super top-notch actors. Some are nice. Some are not so nice.
Yeah.
You know, some, but, you know, for the most part, they haven't gotten to where they're got, you know, I mean, and I've had an experience like Sean Penn. People have this bad reputation. I thought Sean was great. A couple other people that people say, oh, that they're a pain or they're whatever. You know, it's people. Charles Bronson was not very communicative with a lot of people, but it was my first movie, and he took me under his wing, and we were doing a stunt scene, and I did most of my own stunts in that movie, which literally involved picking up grown men and throwing them through the air. This director really pushed things too far. At the end of the movie, I'm having a fight to the death with Bronson, and there's a scene where I'm on my knees, and he's kicking me in the chest. He kicked apparently over 100 times I was kicked until Bronson finally went over to the director and said, he's not doing any more. You got the shot. And that was the end of it. You know, and they did have the shot. It was just, you know, I think maybe I shouldn't have eaten something at the bar or something. You know, but, you know, it's just like people.
Yeah, and a lot of the time it depends on the approach to the craft. Some of them are really talkative, and some are just in their character, and they don't want to be budged from that, you know?
Yeah.
So it just depends on kind of who you get on what day, on what you're shooting.
Exactly. Absolutely right. Yeah.
Not to mention, you worked on Death Wish 2. That point was almost the pinnacle of canon films in that particular area.
That was the first movie they made money on.
Yeah.
You know, so it did very well. It was number one in the box office a couple of weeks in a row. But Bronson was the international star of the decade in the 70s, he carried it, he carried a lot of weight. So a lot of people to this day, you know, he's a favorite movie star of quite a few people. So, good man.
The Yellow Power Ranger.
Karen.
Yeah. Yeah, so when you met JDF, you said you kind of geeked out a little bit. Did you realize, both of you guys, that when you became Rangers, did you think like 10, 15 years later, like, people would be doing the same to you?
I never really thought about it at the time. I was just so wrapped up in trying to do a good job in being a Power Ranger, because I always used to tell people as a kid, I'm going to be a Power Ranger when I grow up. And it happened. So I was like, okay, now I'm here. Now I'm here. Let me do a good job and not mess this up. Right? So, and seeing JDF, it like put the fear in me even more. Like, oh man, he's back. Like, so yeah, it was just...
Which is why I was glad I didn't really know him.
Yeah.
I was just praying that I wouldn't get fired. I'm like, you can't get fired from Power Rangers, Jeff. God, don't let that happen, man. Like, don't let that happen. Don't be that guy. Thank God I wasn't.
Apparently we got 5 minutes, so maybe one. This young gentleman over here.
How comfortable are the helmets?
Super comfortable. It's like putting on a pair of mitts. That are the wrong size. No, it's comfortable. It's like wearing any helmet, you know?
Just don't expect to breathe.
You just can't breathe out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We gotta put a straw, I think the ones that bend, and then bend it down, and you just breathe out of the straw. If you watch really closely in the show, you'll see the straws coming out of the sides. I'm joking.
You should have left it alone.
You should have left it.
There would have been people at home. With the
yeah, I'm saying.
Oh man.
Great way to keep it on Netflix too. Great way to keep it on Netflix for a little bit longer. I would have put it out, look for the straws and Dan of Thunder.
Yeah.
We have proof. Listen to our episode. Any other the gentleman in the back.
You guys talked about the Ninja Storm team up. I was wondering if you could talk about the SPD team up?
SPD was cool. You know, you know what the funny thing was? Matt Austin, we kind of started acting at kind of the same time. He was actually on hold to play Connor McKnight. I was going to say McDavid, the hockey player. Connor McKnight in our season. He didn't get it. He ended up going back the next year. For me, that was nice because I actually got to work with a friend that I knew, you know, who was part of the struggle back in Toronto. But I don't know. You were more a part of that team up. So
yeah, it was nice to kind of – a lot of their cast was Canadian. Yeah. So it was kind of cool to go back and work with a lot of fellow Canadians and kind of just explore together and, you know, just be a part of this amazing legacy. It's fun.
It just wasn't as magical, though. It was like a, it was a, the team up was kind of sped through.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just like, just hurry up. Let's get done.
And on that, sadly, so they could probably move in the next round of panel, we'll end it, this panel there. Is there any place where you, the attendees could follow you on social media or?
Yeah, I have my Facebook page, The Official KD.
Yeah, Mike, you can follow me on Instagram. Twitter and Facebook, just my name. Just look for my face.
Well, I am the original dinosaur. I don't have a Facebook. I don't have an Instagram. You can follow me on thomasfduffy.com and IMDb, and follow me at your theater because I'll be in, or on your cable television, I'll be in there somewhere.
Again, from those of us here at the panel, thank you for attending this panel. As always,
thank you guys.
Thanks.
What we've done here, the recording will be available on the website. I got flyers here if you guys want to pick one up. Again, thank you from the show, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Thank you for attending. WinterCon, I'm sure you guys will still be doing autographs. Don't forget to pick up an autograph from these fine gentlemen if you haven't already. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys, for coming.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Again, that was When Dinos Attack panel that we did, featuring Kevin Duhaney, Jeff Parazo, and Thomas F. Duffy. I'm going to include a special little treat for you guys because Kevin arrived a little bit early and he was a little bit engaging with the crowd. What I'll do is I'm going to include a little bit of a quote-unquote blooper reel here and for a second, and I'll come right back and close out the show.
There's no assigned seating, so just pick a side.
I'm taking the blue mic.
All right, I don't care.
I think everybody knows why.
Yeah. You guys always have your helmets.
You know, we borrowed it and forgot to give it back, maybe. You know.
Hey, Kevin, if I had a white one, I would have put it up and I would have said, take the white one. Even though we're recording, we're just kind of waiting until everybody shows up to get...
Okay, yeah, Jeff's on his way. He's just grabbing his helmet.
So you guys went to the pizza joint.
We did.
This very good.
I might fall asleep during the panel, guys, because I'm full. Pardon? Oh yeah, he did. And I didn't have to act, man, because I like pizza. That came natural. I see a pretty cool pink Dino Charge Ranger. That is amazing. Amazing. You look better in the suit than I ever did. Let me tell you.
Kevin, what's with the pink ones?
Huh?
What's with the pink Power Rangers, hey? Always the cute ones.
Yeah, always. Pink ones always steal your heart. Always.
Oh, no, yellow's pretty good, too.
Right. That's true. That's true, too. That's true, too.
Yellow Ranger and the White Ranger got together.
Mm-hmm.
There
was no pink in Dino.
No, there wasn't.
But my opinion...
It was yellow,
blue,
red, black, and white.
There he is.
Oh, yeah.
There he is.
Yes. Oh, you got a sucker. You should have brought me one, man. Why don't you bring me one?
Again, that was Kevin Duhaney. Yeah, a little bonus / bloopers for you. It was kind of before the panel, so hope you enjoyed that. And if you're listening to us off our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, we are on iTunes and Google Play Music if you're going that route, or you want to go that route. Or if you do listen to us via iTunes or Google Play Music, we do have the website, which is, again, thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. For those who don't have smartphones, again, the website is always there for you. If you have any questions, comments, or what have you, you can always email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or you can message us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thelongcoatmafiapodcast. And we do have a Twitter account and a Instagram account, both of which are under the same handle, which is Longcoat Mafia. So look for us, follow us, subscribe, everything else. Rate and review us on iTunes. It does help in a way. So take care, guys, and stay tuned for more episodes, if any more, of the winter of our Winter Pop and Comic Wonderland series that we did for the show this past December 3rd and 4th, 2016. Again, I am the Reverend Godfather, and I am out.
There's no assigned seating, so just pick a side.
I'll take the blue mic.
All right, I don't care.
I think everybody knows why.
Yeah.
You guys always have your helmets.
You know, we borrowed it and forgot to give it back, maybe. You know.
Hey, Kevin, if I had a white one, I would have put it up and I would have said, take the white one. Even though we're recording, we're just kind of waiting until everybody shows up to get...
Okay, yeah, Jeff's on his way. He's just grabbing his helmet.
So, and as soon as he comes in, we'll probably get something starting. And as soon as Thomas arrives, we'll roll with that. That way...
Sounds good.
So you guys went to the pizza joint.
We did.
This?
Very good.
I might fall asleep during the panel, guys, because I'm full. Pardon? Oh, yeah, he did. And I didn't have to act, man, because I like pizza. That came natural.
And to let you guys know out there that this is being recorded as well, think Nerdist. I got flyers for where to find the episode. It will be going up later in this month because I'll be putting up the panels first before I put up the interviews. So you feel free, probably after the panel, come grab a flyer and keep an eye on either iTunes, Google Play Music, or the website, and you'll see it posted. As a podcast, yeah.
I see a pretty cool pink Dino Charge Ranger. That is amazing. Amazing. You look better in the suit than I ever did. Let me tell you.
Kevin, what's with the pink ones?
Huh?
What's with the pink Power Rangers, hey? Always the cute ones.
Yeah, always. Pink ones always steal your heart. Always.
Oh, no, yellow's pretty good, too.
That's true. That's true, too. That's true, too.
The Yellow Ranger and the White Ranger got together.
Mm-hmm.
There was no pink in Dino.
No, there wasn't.
But my opinion, the cutest pink Ranger was still Kimberly.
Red, black, and white.
There he is.
There he is.
There he is.
Correct? Yes.
Yes.
Now we have two out of the three.
Oh, you got a sucker. You should have brought me one, man. Why don't you bring me one?
might as well start get things. I know. Hopefully, Thomas will get things in shortly. If you guys want, you're coming in fine. We can get things rolling, and when Thomas comes in, we'll work from there. And
yeah,
that way it's already almost quarter after three right now. So
let's do it.
Right. How you guys doing?
Hey guys, again, welcome to. If you haven't, Matt or anybody from out the actual con itself hasn't welcomed you to the. What did I do it? I tucked everything away. Nope, it fell. hasn't welcomed to you.